challenging. All right, so hopefully you're ready to be challenged by God's scriptures. All right. So before we do that, though, we got some announcements. So there you go. Friday night at SSB 120, we're doing a lecture, Will the Real Jesus Please Stand Up? So I'm going to talk about different, here we go, I've got some brochures, some people can hand these out. Here you go. Here, Zane, if you want to.
Yeah.
Different Jesus, like the Jesus who's not even God, or the Jesus who's just a nice guy, or the Jesus who's only Jewish. And so we'll talk about different views of Jesus. Then, of course, we'll end by talking about the real, actual Jesus, all right? So this would be a good lecture to bring people to who don't really know that much about Christianity. They've heard different things about Jesus. They're not sure which is the right idea. So come on Friday night. Bring a friend. It's over in SSB, which is totally that end of the campus. So go either way you want around the campus. But if you want to park in Bellevue, you could, but I wouldn't. Friday night, 7 o'clock. Okay? Now, on Saturday morning, I'm starting to teach a class on hermeneutics, which is the study of how to interpret the Bible, how to understand the Bible. All right? So a lot of people say, well, you know, I don't understand, I don't get it. So it's going to be a 6-week class. This is totally because you want to. In fact, there's going to be people from all over the world coming to this class. I happen to be the teacher, so I'm happen to be making it available to you. It's available on Zoom, the Zoom that we use whenever we do Zoom. It's the same one that's on right now. So, hey, I'm pretty sure Tiani was going to come. Hopefully other people will come. So basically, a 6-week class on how to understand, interpret, and the Bible. Okay, got it? And then on Saturday night, the Alpha Omega group in Fresno is sponsoring a Valentine's Encouraging the Sisters night. All right, so that's there on offer. And like I was saying to Josh as we were having our little discipling time earlier, brothers, it's your job to take care of the sisters. Guys, all right, sure. So Manny, you're off the hook, okay? Manny, you don't, all right?
Dang it.
But the different women in this room, if they're interested, somebody should make sure that maybe they get a ride there and, you know, that kind of stuff, okay? So shame on you. If certain female people in this room sit home Saturday night. Okay? Yeah, thank you for saying that. I was explaining that to Josh. On the average Saturday night, if a guy is sitting around doing whatever they want, it's like, whatever. A girl sitting around doing nothing, it's like, wow, nobody loves me, nobody thinks I'm beautiful. That might be a little bit exaggerating and stereotyping, but there is a fair amount of truth there. So guys, do not be selfish. Okay, got that? All right. And then coming up is our campus retreat. Oh, we've got some things here. So here's the flyer, if you will, for Friday night. By the way, it's Barbie night. Now, no pressure, all right? Supposedly you're supposed to kind of go like dressed up like Barbie. No pressure. Just show up, all right?
Or Ken.
Or Ken, whatever. But don't worry about that. Just show up. If you can do, yeah, collect Ken. Just wear a hat and like a black coat like that. Just like that, okay? Got it? All right, and then our spring camp retreat, the highlight of the entire semester, is coming up March 22nd through 24th. Please start registering at aocampus.com. If you can make it, we will get you a ride, I guarantee you. If you can't afford it, it's really not expensive. It's actually pretty cheap. But if for some reason you can't afford it, let us know. We will come up with the funds so you can go. Got it? So now let's get into 2 Corinthians, unless I'm missing something. All right, so brief review. We talked about the situation that had been going on in Corinth. These super apostles were coming in, you know, trying to get people to get into Judaism. Here's some pictures from Corinth, background, divisiveness, all the things in 1 Corinthians, the different visits, the purpose, the outline. Okay, comfort, great. Then last week, we talked about, right, we have a triumphal procession. That's at the end of chapter 2, okay? And then we looked last week at confidence. So we're going to be talking quite a bit about confidence. Our confidence comes from Christ. Then we talk about the ministry that brought death, which was glorious. So the ministry that brings life is way more glorious, right? It brings righteousness. It doesn't change. It's eternal. And the glory of the old covenant is like the sun. See the sun? See that? The sun. And the new covenant is like, and tarries. Right? And even Moses, when he saw God on Mount Sinai, he was glowing. But it says, how much greater is the glory? All right? Therefore, we can be very bold because the veil has been removed. All right? So we contemplate and then we reflect. Because, in fact, let's read 2 Corinthians 3:18 and then we'll go into our new material. Okay? So very quick review there. You weren't here. All right. Verse 18. And we all who with unveiled faces in Christ, the veil is removed, right? We all with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory. Now that word contemplate could either mean contemplate literally like gaze upon the Lord's glory, or it could also mean reflect the Lord's glory. Both. As we contemplate, then we reflect. It says, are being transformed into his image. So the goal is not to remove the veil. The goal is to be transformed into his image with ever increasing glory. Okay? So now we're in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and 5. And here we're gonna get back to our confidence theme. I know. I'm confident. I am sure. So let's talk about that. 2 Corinthians 4, 1 through 6. Therefore, since through God's mercy we have this ministry. Stop right there. I'm not going to answer the question, what ministry? Think about that. We have this ministry. Think about that. What ministry? Mm-hmm. Let me read on. We do not lose heart. Rather, we have renounced secret and shameful ways. We do not use deception, nor do we distort the word of God. On the contrary, by setting worth the truth plainly, we commend ourselves to everyone's conscience in the sight of God. And even if our gospel is veiled, it's veiled to those who are perishing. The God of this age, Satan, has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel that displays the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For what we preach is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, and ourselves as servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, let light shine out of the darkness, made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of God's glory displayed in the face of Christ. What word is repeated multiple times in that whole section? Starts with a G.
Glory.
He's still talking about glory. He says, therefore, because we have this ministry. What ministry?
Sharing the gospel.
To contemplate.
Contemplating and reflecting. Jan's answer is an absolutely correct answer.
Okay.
The ministry of contemplating and reflecting. This ministry of, well, he's good. Basically, the next two chapters are talking about sharing our faith. The next two chapters are about sharing our faith. That's the subject. Okay? Even if he's not directly saying that, that's what he's talking about. The ministry of contemplating and reflecting the glory of Christ to the world. That's a pretty glorious ministry. We're walking around here at UC Merced, man, we're reflecting the glory of Jesus. We're not reflecting biology or computer science, we're reflecting the glory of Jesus. Therefore, we don't lose heart. How many here have ever lost heart?
Yeah.
All right. Garrick is too tired to raise his hand because I'm sure he's lost heart too occasionally. In other words, you got discouraged. You're trying to do the right thing and you just got flat out discouraged. Do you think Paul ever, yeah, thank you, Garrick. Do you think Paul ever lost heart?
Yeah.
Of course he did occasionally. All right, but therefore, because Paul says, I have this amazing ministry of reflecting the glory of Christ in the world, I lose heart occasionally. But basically, I don't lose heart. Have you ever felt it was too hard?
Yeah.
Have you ever felt like contemplated packing it in as a believer?
Wow.
Maybe not all of us have contemplated that, but I'm sure some of us have contemplated packing it in. It's like, man. Or seriously backing off your commitment. Not leaving God entirely, but no longer being a zealous, fired up, sold out disciple. You know, been hanging out with Emma Fairmount lately on campus, and, you know, we're sitting there, and it's like 48 degrees, and it's raining, and there's like a 20-mile-an-hour wind, and this lady's trying to sort of get us kicked off campus and all this sort of stuff. It's like, oh, man. Yeah, Paul was tempted to lose heart, but why did he not lose heart? Because he had this ministry, this opportunity. Think about it. All right, what you're here to do on campus, and what, let's say, Gavin Newsom, I'm not making a political statement, just he's the governor. So who's more significant, Gavin Newsom or you? Well, what if you, in reflecting Christ's glory, somebody went to heaven for eternity? All right, what's infinity divided by any rational number equal? No! What's infinity divided by any rational number equal?
Infinity,
right. So our ministry is infinitely significant in its impact. Amen?
Amen.
So Paul's like, I'm not going to lose heart. So I'm making a difference. Eternity is at stake. What we're doing is very, very important. I'm not saying your studies aren't important, because they are. I'm not saying your career is not important, because it is. Most of us have careers that we intend to use to serve humanity in some way.
Yeah.
All right? Some, you know, some of us might be, never mind. Some majors, you know, it's just all money and all that sort of stuff. But, you know, not most of us. So therefore, what does Paul say we do? All right? We set forth the truth plainly. You know, we make it clear what and who we are. All right? There was a group on campus, not to be named, and they were saying, they had this sign, spiritual readings. Stop by our table and get spiritual readings.
Oh, yeah.
All right. You know, whatever. I sure am glad I don't even remember what group that was. But, like, spiritual readings. They're a Christian group. They're trying to get people to believe in Jesus and study the Bible. Come by and get a spiritual reading. Amen. All right. Yeah, they take you inside the tent. Amen. You know, good heart. They're trying to do the right thing. But, hello. So when we're on campus, we're like, hey, we're a Christian group. Want to join our Christian group? And yeah, all right, amen. So we're not trying to fake people out. We're the Alpha Omega Christian Club. And we're trying to help people to be disciples of Jesus. And then what's he say? He says here, rather we've renounced secret and shameful ways. We do not use deception, etc. By setting forth the truth plainly, we commend ourselves to everyone's conscience. What does that mean to you, to commend yourself to people's conscience? What would that look like? Imagine a conversation where you're commending yourself to their conscience. Somebody, what do you think that, yeah?
Maybe trying to see it from their perspective instead of...
All right, but commending yourself to their conscience.
Sharing your testimony?
Yeah, sharing your testimony. I mean, let me tell you, God has changed my life. Let me tell you what I have. I like what Paul said to Felix. He said, Festus, I think, I wish you could be everything that I am except for these chains. If only you could have the life that I had had. Right? And so that's one of the things we do is we don't just throw out facts. I mean, please throw out facts. You know, there's the Jesus and the Bible and Jesus is God and read the scripture and, you know, and how about this evidence and this prophecy fulfilled and signed, but how about commending yourself to their conscience? Man, I just wish you could have what I have. Right? Have you commended your life to people's conscience? Say, I've chosen the gospel. I've given my life to Christ and I'm proud. All right. Later on, Paul's going to say, if people say, I'm out of my mind, you say, I'm out of my mind. You're right. I'm out of my mind. I'm crazy. I'm a Christian. You know what I'm saying? All right. Yeah, later on, earlier said, because we have this hope, we are very bold. So, amen, a little admonition there. Now, is everybody going to listen? Is everybody going to listen? Said, no, there's a lot of people, Satan's going to, you know, you're going to be bold and you're going to be commending yourself to a conscience. Somebody's going to go, whatever, dude, you know, whatever, dude. Yeah. Because if you just say, hey, just come, you know, just nice, people will also be nice back, which is great. That's great, but you know, every once in a while, you know, you look somebody in the eye and say, you know, I really wish you, I could help you go to heaven. I don't know, whatever that would look like. All right, and he said, verse 5, he says, therefore we set forth the truth plainly, right? Verse 5. What we preach is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, and ourselves as servants for your sake. So, two items in what he's preaching. Number one, Jesus Christ is Lord. What's that mean?
He's the head honcho.
He's my boss. He's the one that I'm serving. Lord is not a title, right? You say, Lord, I think Paul McCartney, they call him Lord Paul now because, you know, he's a member of the House of Lords. It's just a title. Sir Paul or whatever. Lord is not a title. Lord is who he is. So Paul says, we preach two things. Jesus Christ is Lord. He is master. He is king. He is creator. We preach Jesus, not church. Right? We preach Jesus, not church. And then what else does he preach? Ourselves as servants. Alright? So we're going out there and we're making ourselves servants. We're here to serve. How can I help you? Alright? Can I tutor you in whatever? Can I, you know, bring you these awesome, thank you, Evan. Can I bring you these awesome, Reese's sticks, the brand new thing there? That's great. Jan, can I bring you some little Debbies? Good job, Jan.
Thank you, Jan.
All right? So that is his message. Jesus is Lord. By the way, in Acts 2, verse 36, Paul said, God has made this Jesus whom you crucified Lord and Savior. You think Paul also preached Jesus as Savior? Yeah, he preached him as Savior. But he preached him as Lord, which is the more popular idea, that Jesus is Savior or that he's Lord?
Savior.
Very popular. Lord? Not very popular. Not very popular. If it was popular, then everybody who says they'd be a Christian or would be in church like every Sunday and would be out sharing their faith and would be having quiet times every day and, you know, praying and going on mission days and all this sort of stuff. So that's why he mentioned Lord. I'm sure he also preached Jesus as Savior. He just didn't happen to mention that in this little thing. Jan's reminding me, but actually I'm still on verse 1 through 6, actually. I am. I'm still there. But I'm about to go to the next verse. So he says, we're here to serve. I'm not here to, some people say, I'm looking for a church that's going to meet my needs. I'm looking for a church that's going to meet my needs. A church that feels right to me. I'm looking for a church where I can serve. I'm looking for a church where God can use me, not that I can get my needs met. By the way, you know, generally when you go out there and meet other people's needs, God kind of sort of takes care of your needs too. But is that your object? No. All right. 7 through 12. Thank you, Jan. You're right, but not quite. There we go. But we have this treasure. Which treasure? I think he's talking about the Holy Spirit. We have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. We are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not abandoned. Struck down, but not destroyed. We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may be revealed in our body. For we who are alive are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that his life may also be revealed in our mortal body. So then, death is at work in us, but life is at work in you. So what idea sticks out to you in that paragraph? To me, it's death. The thing that sticks out in that paragraph is death, death, death. The prior paragraph is glory, glory, glory. This one's death, death, death. All right, that's an interesting change of subject. He says, we are mere jars of clay. What's he getting at? We're fragile. We're weak. We are mortal. But he says, that's awesome. Because we're mortal, let's say you are a superhero. All right, let's say you are a superhero. And then you did something great. People say, well, it's a superhero. He's supposed to do that. But what if you do something amazing even though you're in a jar of clay? Right? It's because that's where the power of God is revealed. If you were the smartest person in the world, if you were the most athletic person in the world, if you were the most beautiful person in the world, then, you know, maybe some glory would be to you. But then we have Ken right here. He's not the most handsome guy in the world. He's not the most athletic guy in the world. He's pretty dang smart, honestly. So he's got it kind of good in that range. But you know what? God's going to use somebody like Ken. You just happen to be in front, Ken. I'm, you know, just having to pick on you. Right? Jars of clay. But that's what gives glory to God. If it was because we're awesome, then who would it give glory to? Us. No. He said, we carry in around in our body the death of Jesus. Paul's going around, you know, everybody knows the sacrifice, the things that I've gone through. And later on in chapter 12, he says, when I am weak, then I am strong. And he says, I'm going to talk about my weaknesses. I'm going to talk about the bad things that have happened in my life. Because that reveals the power and the glory of God. He says, our fragile lives, changed by Christ, demonstrate what it means to die with Christ. Right? In 1 Corinthians 15:31, Paul says, I die every day. Right? 1 Corinthians 15:31, Paul says, I die every day. So that sacrificial life we live, where we put ourselves in kind of tough positions for the sake of Christ, that's when God's glory is revealed. Not through our awesomeness, not through your perfect skin or your awesome retirement plan or your really great house with this awesome, these are things, college students, you can't relate to any of these stuff, but us old people, that's our thing. All right. That's not how God's glory is revealed, through your awesomeness. It's through your weakness. So is the death of Christ working in your life? That's a good rhetorical question. Is the death of Christ working in your life? Is the death of Christ revealed in your life? Let's go on. Verse 13 through 18. All right. Now, it is written, I believed, therefore I've spoken. Since we have the same spirit of faith, we also believe, and therefore we speak, because we know. Now, this next section, the next about 25 verses, we know we're confident. This is talking about confidence and where our confidence is from. Okay. The prior section was about death, all right? This section is about confidence, about knowing, about being sure, all right? Where was I? Yes. We know that the one who raised the Lord Jesus from the dead will also raise us with Jesus, present us with you to himself. All this is for your benefit, so that the grace that is reaching more and more people may cause thanksgiving to overflow to the glory of God. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Isn't that the second time you said this?
Yeah.
Therefore, we do not lose heart. Let's stop right there. Why do we not lose heart? Ah, I'll read on. We'll come back to that. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Earlier, therefore, we do not lose heart because we have this ministry. Here he says, therefore we do not lose heart, but for a different reason. Let's see if we can figure it out by reading that. All right. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. Now look around the room. Who in here is, outwardly wasting away. No, there's a few of us who are much more obviously wasting away. All right? There's a few of us who are pretty obviously wasted. We get up and we're like, oh, right? And we start walking, right? Yeah, there's a few of us. So when we read this passage, some of you, you have no idea what we're talking about. You're like, whatever. Because when you're under 30, you think you're going to live forever. You read this passage, you go, yeah, sure, I believe that intellectually, but really, I don't believe it. Right? But, so this passage is for, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, this is for 7 of us in the room. For the rest of you, just watch while we're reading this. Okay? Therefore, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we're wasting away, yet inwardly we're being renewed day by day, for our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes, not on what is seen, not on what is seen, but on what is unseen, because what is seen is temporary and what is unseen is eternal. All right, back to verse 13. The result of being transformed into the image of Christ is we speak. Have you been speaking? Have you been speaking? Another rhetorical question? Something for you to think about? So, why do we speak? It says, if we believe, we speak. Right? If you believe Jesus Christ died for your sins and was raised again on the third day, and you're going to speak about Jesus. Why? He says, because we know that the one who raised Jesus from the dead is going to raise us from the dead. Flo, you're going to be raised from the dead. Some of us, we're closer. I'm about the 3/4 mark. All right, folks. In fact, I'm probably closer to the 80% mark. All right. I'm kind of close. Kind of close. I'm going to die. 20 years from now, I'll probably be dead. All right. Probably. But God's going to raise me from the dead. And see, he says, we know. Paul says, I know. Therefore, yeah, I'm going to speak. Right? He says that, why are we able to do this? Why are we able to speak? To whom do we speak? About whom do we speak? What do we speak? Because the veil's been lifted, we ought to be speaking about Jesus. Why are we able to do this? Because we know. Not we think. Not we hope. Like, I'm pretty sure. Yeah. No. We know that we're going to be raised from the dead. The subject of this whole section is confidence in Christ. Confidence. He says, we do not lose our motivation and zeal. No. Therefore, he says, we do not lose heart. All right. Verse 1 through 10. 2 Corinthians 5, 1 through 10. All right. Well, actually, no, a couple more comments before I go there. All right. It says, we know that God will raise us with Jesus. God's grace is reaching more and more people, verse 15. That's why we're not losing heart, because we know, number one, that God will raise us from the dead. Number two, because God is using us to spread the gospel, and people are getting saved. People are going to heaven because of our ministry. Outwardly, not looking good. Not looking that great. Look in the news. Does it seem like Jesus is reigning victorious over the world? No. Is Jesus reigning victorious over Ukraine right now? Don't look that way. Is Jesus' kingdom like blowing it out there in the Middle East over there in like Palestine? Not looking too good. And maybe even in your family, maybe even in your situation. Especially for us old people. Especially for us old people. Man, I'm the light's at the end of the tunnel, but this, you know, that's the light with the stethoscope when they're, you know, like, oh, looks like up, oh, they're up, oh, flatline. Yeah. All right, outwardly we're wasting away, but inwardly we're being renewed. Has everyday life gotten you down lately? Maybe. Health concerns, financial issues, things not getting done, tests failed, friends, disloyal. All right? But he says we can be renewed every day. All right? How do we do that? We fix our eyes on what is unseen. Now, that's weird. But think about that. He says, fix your eyes on things that are unseen. Well, how do you do that? What do you fix your eyes on? By definition, visible things, right? You can't even see invisible things. But you have to have spiritual eyes. You have to see what's going on behind the scenes. These people with their nice cars and their really cool scooters and their great majors and their straight A's and the girls on their thing and having parties on Friday night. They're going to hell. Family going to fall apart. They're going to get divorced. Not all of them, but most of them. We got to see what's going on behind the scenes. Faith, Hebrews 11 verse 1, is belief in things that are unseen. Everything that's important is invisible. And everything that is visible is not important on a relative scale. So he says, if you want to make sure you don't lose heart, you need to start looking behind the scenes. You need to see things through spiritual eyes. So we fix our eyes on the fact that God will raise us from the dead. Have you seen anybody raised from the dead lately? Anybody heard about that? Maybe, I don't know, maybe it's going on over there and maybe over in there in Mongolia. Maybe people get raised from the dead in Mongolia. Anybody ever seen that happen? Do you believe that God will raise you from the dead? Do you really believe that?
Yeah.
Wow, you're crazy. You're crazy. All right, 1 through 10. How am I doing? Oh, good. Oh, good. I thought I was only had a couple minutes left. So I can kind of delve into verse 1 through 10. So therefore we don't lose heart. See, I keep doing this little picture. I know. I'm confident. That's why I can march forth victorious. Because I know that the stock market's going to go up. I know that the right person is going to win the presidential election in November or whatever. I know that I've got a job waiting for me. Woo! And I know I'm going to live forever, right? No.
Yeah.
We know that God will raise us from the dead. That's what we know. All right? So, there you go. 2 Corinthians 5, 1 through 10. For we know, this is the second time he said we know. First time he said that we know that the one who raised the Lord from the dead is going to raise us from the dead. Let's read on. For we know that if the earthly tent we live in, let's stop there. He's used two metaphors for us as human beings. What was the first metaphor about 12 verses or so ago?
Jars of clay.
What's jars of clay speak to? Our fragility. And then it says, the earthly tent. What does that metaphor remind us? Yes. Right. Our temporary nature. Our fragile, temporary nature. That's us. That's human beings. Fragile and temporary. I mean, a meteorite could strike the building right now and boom, you're gone.
Wow.
All right. Or you could drive it home and man. Okay, good. So we know that the earthly tent we live in is destroyed. We have a building from God, an eternal house in heaven, not built by human hands. Meanwhile, we groan. Anybody done some groaning lately? Groaning. Every time I stand up, I groan.
Yeah.
Stop playing basketball with you young people, man. It's a mistake. Meanwhile, we groan, longing to be clothed instead with our heavenly dwelling, because when we are clothed, we will not be found naked. For while we're in this tent, we groan and we are burdened, because we do not wish to be unclothed, but to be clothed instead with our heavenly dwelling, so that what is mortal may be swallowed up by life. Now the one who has fashioned us for this very purpose is God, who has given us the Spirit as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come. Therefore, we are always confident And we know that as long as we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord, but we live by faith, not by sight. And we are confident, I say, and prefer to be away from the body and at home with the Lord, so we make it our goal to please Him, whether we are at home in the body or away from it, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each of us may receive what is due us for the things done on the body, whether good or bad. Now, I would have put verse 10 in the next section if I'd been doing the little divisions here, but I read it because it was there. Okay, good. So, chapter 4, verse 14, we know. Chapter 5, verse 1, we know. Chapter 5, verse 5, guaranteed. Chapter 5, verse 6, confident. Chapter 5, verse 6 again, we know. Chapter 5, verse 7, we live by faith. Chapter 5, verse 8, we are confident. Do you see a theme there?
No.
Is that you? Not as much as Paul, probably. All right? Yeah. Paul, God wants us to feel that way. How confident are you of the future? Emma, how confident are you about the future? Josh, how confident are you about the future? Because you know what? You have a home in heaven.
Amen.
You have a home in heaven. The future's kind of taken care of. You know? The future's covered. So that means you can take care of the present. That's all you have to worry about. If the future is taken care of, you can worry about right now. All right? Have you ever doubted that you have an eternal home and that you'll be raised from the dead? I have. I have. Every once in a while, I kind of go, that's crazy.
Yeah.
That's crazy. I mean, you know, worms and chemicals and, you know, stuff, proteins break down. Mm-hmm. All right? So there's always the temptation to doubt. And by the way, you don't feel guilty if you have doubt. Doubt is normal. So if you go away, if the message from tonight is, oh no, you're a terrible Christian if you ever doubt, that is not the message. The message is, we have reason for confidence.
Amen.
So let's embrace that confidence and try to put behind that doubt, but don't feel guilty if you have a doubt. That is not the deal at all. How confident are you in your future in heaven? Okay. He says, but meanwhile, verse 2, he says, meanwhile, we're groaning. Oh, we're stuck here, and, you know, I gotta clean the bathroom, and I gotta fix the car, and I gotta pay car insurance, and I have to, yeah, we're tired, and when you get my age, you've got a certain amount of pain, and by the way, don't hang around with old people when it's just old people, because it was just, when it's just old people, you know what they talk about?
How old they are?
No, they talk about their diseases and their doctor's appointments. It is so boring.
It's depressing.
It's depressing. So when you hang out, if they start doing that, say, excuse me, there's a young person here. Please stop doing that. All right, good. You know, we grow because we long for something better. The physical body wants it to be easier. That is natural. You know, we're tired, it's hard. He says, we don't want to be unclothed. No, we want to be clothed. When he says unclothed, he's not talking about being nude. He's saying, we don't want to be dead like Rover dead all over. You know what I'm saying? We want to be with God for eternity. We want to be clothed with our future mortal bodies. Now, Paul could say multiple times, I'd rather die than remain alive. Not because I'm depressed or want to commit suicide, but it's like, hey, I'm ready. I'm ready. And for some of us older people, we start to actually think that. We start to actually think that. You know what I'm saying? It says we can be confident. Why verse 5? Because the Holy Spirit is in us. It's a deposit. Let's go to chapter 1, verse 22. Remind us of a scripture we read 3 weeks ago. All right? I'll start in verse 21. Chapter 1, verse 21. Now it is God who makes both us and you stand firm in Christ. He anointed us, setting a seal of ownership on us. What is that seal of ownership? See you guys. What is that seal of ownership? It is the Holy Spirit in our hearts as a deposit, guarantee. Right? If the Holy Spirit is living in you, cha-chunk. It's like a seal. Mine. All right? You know, the scene in the last day, on Judgment Day, the open books open and people are waiting for judgment. For us, it's like, here, you got this. See, you got that. You go to that special door, you know. You got the backstage pass. You don't have to stand in that line to, you know, you're in like Flint, man. Oh, sorry, that's an old reference. You have to be at least 7 years old to know what that means, but in like Flint? Look it up. In like Flint. It's like, it's a movie from the 1960s. Anyway. All right, so we confidently say that we live by faith. Do you live by faith? Do you live by faith? Is your life characterized by the stuff you do is based on the fact that you actually believe? You actually believe this stuff. And the reason you did that, the reason you took this class instead of that class, the reason you helped out this person instead of taking your thing, the reason you did this or that, the reason you did that is because of faith. We live by faith. I hope you can say that. Paul could say that confidently. All right? Can you say confidently you're looking forward to dying? No, you're 23 years old. No. But you're going to get there. You're going to get there. Our future is set. Therefore, verse 9, because of that, what do we do with our life? Verse 9, so we make it our goal to please Him. Because our future is assured, we can live the present to please Him. It's covered. The future is covered. It's already decided. So therefore, relax and just serve Him. That's sort of a cool thing. Now, verse 10 is a transition verse. I want to just get us thinking here. This food for thought. So what are some of these words that we've had lately that kind of in this little section? We know. We're
guaranteed.
We're confident, right? But look at chapter 5, verse 11. It says, therefore, because we know what it means to fear the Lord. It's like, now wait a minute. How can you in the same breath talk about confidence, guaranteed, blah, 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 and then talk about fearing the Lord? Let me give you a little bit of insight there. I fear the Lord because of that person over there. I don't fear the Lord for myself. But there's going to be a judgment day, right? And so the reason says, because we fear the Lord, we try to persuade people. Because I fear the Lord for their sake, not for my sake. Got that? We fear the Lord because the people around us, they're in deep doo-doo. They're up a creek without a paddle, and the only way they're going to get a paddle is if we give the paddle to them. So that's the fear he's talking about. So he says, therefore, I do crazy stuff. We'll see that. But that's next week. All right, so we're going to have our groups here. Oh, yeah, we'll finish with a prayer. We'll break up into our groups. All right, wait a minute. Jars of clay? Why? All right, anyway. So, there you go. Skip all that stuff. Paul, you're out of your mind. Here we go. Question number one, is the death of Christ at work in you? If so, how? Are you confident? How would you know that? Do you believe, and therefore have you been speaking? All right, and we're not going to do question number four because that's next week. All right, so first three questions, let's, if you don't mind, break up into groups of three or four as we usually do, and let's just have fun little discussion sessions. Perfectly polite if you want to leave now, no problem. Amen, Evan. I like that.